word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to share some bits of information about opportunities to witness. When we meet people, we are looking for things that they say and give us an inroad to talk with them about the Lord. And many times there are those who will realize that you are a Christian. They have heard you talk with others, and they will try to say something religious to get in so that they can get away, you know, that they won't be apprehended or accosted or whatever it is they would like to, how they might feel about someone talking to them about the Lord. Many will talk about their religious experiences, and I just had a recent experience with a man in giving the gospel to him. I asked him if he'd ever been saved, and he said, yeah. I said, well, will you go to heaven when you die? He said, well, I think so. And then I said, well, let me hear, how long ago was it that you got saved? And he said, well, it was many years ago. Let me hear that. What happened? Well, I was driving a bus, and someone they attacked him while he was driving the bus, I don't remember what he said he prayed or if he prayed or what. But he said, anyway, things turned out that he didn't wreck the bus and didn't hurt anybody. And so right there, he knew he was saved. Now, I don't know who tells people things like this. I don't know who. This is not the only experience I've heard of that someone has said, because something happened and it didn't go real bad for me, I knew I was saved. Now, listen. You need to base your salvation on what God, the author of the book that tells about heaven and hell, says is necessary and essential, required for a man to be saved. The question was asked in Acts 16, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, call out to him for mercy, for salvation. This man, no doubt, had heard the songs of the Apostle Paul and Silas there in prison in Philippi. The Philippian jailer heard these things. And so he recognized that he was a sinner. And when the Lord caused the earthquake, the jailer, supposing that all the men had fled, was ready to take his own life, and Paul stopped him. Apparently, there had been a conversion, massive jail conversion experiences, if the jail, all of the people in the jail got saved when he said, we're here. You don't have to do yourself any harm. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, many people are thinking that they're saved because they were born into a certain family. And you'll ask them, are you saved? Oh, my father's a preacher. I said, are you saved? Oh, I've been in the church for many years. No, I said, are you saved? I was baptized when I was 12. No, are you saved? Well, you know, I give a lot of money. We're faithful tithers. Are you saved? We're not very bad people. Are you saved? Listen, the list goes on, and people come up with all kinds of things. And the answer is found in the Bible to know whether or not you are saved. Some will say, but I plan to. I'm not ready now. I don't want to do it today. And there are so many denominations, and I'm trying to wait and find out which one is which. And they're just confused. I'm asking them about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you come to a place to where you recognize you are a sinner and that Jesus is God's Son who died for you? He loved sinners and he died for sinners. Have you called out to him for mercy and asked him to save you? If you have, he will save you right away. He doesn't tell you, wait later, but he'll save you now. Father, we pray that someone today will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We'll praise thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, let's look in the book of Genesis chapter 20. And again, we're going to see how that Abraham is going to deny that he has a wife, deny that Sarah is his wife. And notice this also. Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees at the latter part of chapter 11, traveled with his nephew Lot. He is given the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, in chapter 12, and chapter 15 again, chapter 17, chapter 18, and all of these things are happening. He is seeing how the Lord is taking care of him. And the Lord has promised to give him a son. And the Lord has talked with him face to face and told him about what he was going to do concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord has spoken all these things. And what does the man Abraham do when he is put in a place where he feels threatened? Verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast, for she is a man's wife." Notice about this, that the Lord honors marriage. And marriage is something that is not only in Christians, not only among the Jews, but it is something the Lord has put in the mind of men, one man, one woman, one man. That is what God's idea, that's God's mind of a marriage. God's mind of a marriage, one man, one woman. And he will honor the home, one man, one woman. And, you know, you talk with people sometimes, and especially the ones that are living in gross immorality, just living together without the bonds of matrimony, and are saying, "Oh, that's just a piece of paper." And what they're saying is that I don't love her enough, I don't love him enough to make this commitment of being a husband and a wife to him. I want to have a door to run. And as I mentioned before, there are many unbiblical approaches to marriage, many unbiblical things that people are doing and saying that it is a marriage. Now, there are things that people do. For example, if they have been married before and a spouse dies, their children are grown, and they want to have a second marriage. I don't see anything in the scriptures that condemn them from saying, and this is again something that is done between the two, that they would want the children to have their own children to have their inheritance, and to see to it that the new spouse is cared for, but that the children are not deprived of the inheritance between the man or the woman and her and their parent. And so this is, but what is happening today is that there are those who are coming up with these so-called prenuptial agreements, and they're making it easy for them to not be responsible or accountable to their spouse. And so this is not God's way of doing things. Abraham here is running by saying, "She's my sister." And Abimelech doesn't, you know, what was his custom in this country as a king, a sovereign in a land? When Abimelech sees her, he takes her to be for himself. "She is my sister," Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "say that she's a sister." So the king sent and took her. I don't know how to explain why he did this. The scriptures do not explain why he would take someone's sister or take single women into his own home or into his own palace, but he did. And the Lord spoke to him that night in a dream. you're a dead man. That's a very serious offense that you've done in taking a man's wife. You're a dead man, says the Lord. And Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? So notice here, he apparently knew something of the character of God. Wilt thou also slay a righteous nation? He knew that he could have an appeal, an approach to God based upon the fact that he knew that God knew what he knew. He knew that God knew all things. And he went on to say, did not he say, she is my sister? So Abimelech knew that the Lord heard all things and saw all things. And this is what he was doing. He said, did not she say, didn't he say this to me? She's my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. Notice that plea, a tremendous plea that is made by this man. He approaches God knowing what God is like. And Lord, I'm not doing anything wrong, he said. Based upon the knowledge that I have that was given to me by them themselves. So, Lord, he said, would you destroy a righteous nation? Would you slay a righteous nation? He knew that was not in God. He knew of God. He knew that God was a righteous God. Verse 6, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. But this is Abraham's lie that he is told. This is Abraham's wife. This is Sarah's husband. And the Lord said, I kept this you from sinning against me by affecting this man's family? Yes. You see, God is concerned about the family. Anybody who attacks the Christian home, anybody who attacks the godly home is attacking God. You're sinning against God. The Lord is against that. Therefore, suffered I thee not to touch her. I kept you from sinning. You know, isn't that a good statement there? I kept you from sinning. The Lord can keep us from sinning. You don't have to sin. You want to be a person who is endued with the power of God and live in the blessings and the power of the Lord? Why, of course, the Lord can keep you from sinning. I did not allow you to touch her. So I don't know how the Lord did this, but this man didn't touch this woman, even though he took her to his own house and to his unto himself. The Lord wouldn't let him go any further than the Lord would let him go. God said the boundaries are set. A holy God set the boundaries. And a holy God sets the boundaries today. Do you know that? Do you know that? He is doing that today, protecting, providing. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for this example in the Word of God, how thou didst show us that our God is on the throne and working when men use deceitful means to try to effect a plan. We thank thee, Father, for this, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson.